Hey everybody, yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, how's it going today?
I'm doing wonderful, Jason. How are you? Good.
I'm doing really good. I'm just kidding about the great thing. I like to mix it up every now and then, but you are great.
It's okay.
Come on, Chris, what's new? Give me some news here. What's going on? I haven't talked to you in a week. What's happening?
Let's see. So not the weather. I mean, you don't want to know what new board games I have.
I mean, you got any new hobbies? You're starting to cook? You got any new meals you're trying to eat? What's going on with you?
Just got off of a like a 10-week like low gluten, low carb kind of like low what do they call it, a cleansing kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I was eating really clean and it went great. It ended on Friday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday I ate like brownies, ice cream, like tons of bread. Now I'm,
yeah,
you know, just, you know, it's like it's not natural to try and do that. You know,
to drop the carbs.
I felt really good.
Mm-hmm.
I was killing it, you know, strong, just, and then my body's like, oh, that's the end of that. Good job. And then we, you know, go right back to eating what I like. So
it's a roller coaster. Inspiration for that, just to try something, or
my wife said we're gonna do it. And she's the one that cooks. So
So what's like a typical meal during that time?
It's like there would be like chicken and avocado, black beans, lots of vegetables and some onions all in a bowl, and you just eat.
And that's it. You just wrap it up after dinner. That's it.
Yeah.
No dessert.
That's
nothing.
It. Yeah.
Wow. That's it. Wow.
Yeah. But it's
breakfast,
good.
Breakfast, I'm assuming like eggs, avocado.
Yeah. Not avocado for breakfast. I'm not a not a prude. But yeah, eggs, turkey sausage.
Wow.
I actually have some toast. I do have toast for breakfast because, you know, I go to CrossFit. I got to have something to, you know, something to work with. But yeah. Dieting is a roller coaster, Jason.
Yeah.
It goes up and down.
It's tough. It's tough, yeah. I've got a little problem with Oreos recently.
They're
very addictive, I'm noticing. Yeah. Like,
and
really.
So many flavors.
Yeah, and it's also bad in terms of, like, how many calories you can put in with just, like, a couple Oreos. Like, it starts adding up pretty quickly. So
you can get sick really quick. I feel like when they finally figure out and introduce, like, mixed boxes of Oreos so that you can get, like, three or four of, like, you know, 12 different flavors all in one box. Can you imagine? You get like the vanilla ones.
If I worked at headquarters and someone announced that in a meeting and I was in charge, I would just nod and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I know
and
it's not
right after the meeting. I'd go fire that guy.
Yeah. Because it's not,
you can't mess with something that's so good, you know,
but yeah. It wouldn't be good because they wouldn't sell as many of the other flavors. You just buy that one thing. But for a consumer, I mean, I dream. Jason, my 35th birthday was an Oreo birthday. We bought like 30.
I remember it. We celebrated Y2K and the millennium and all that 23 years ago.
Yeah, no. It was an Oreo birthday.
Hey, it's party. Coming up soon. I mean, we keep going here. We're going to be celebrating 50ths.
Mm.
Yeah. That kind of explains it. The last few weeks, you've been a little testy with me, and I think it was the low carb.
Maybe.
I'm serious.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
It's good to have you back.
I do get hungry. I do get angry when I'm hungry. So
yeah, hangry. Okay, Chris. Well, I just wanted to catch up with you. We've been so business-like lately. You know, just jumping into it. All these new updates going on. We got another one going on today. Got to get used to saying the word assets and no longer saying the word extensions. And so we'll cover that. But before we do that, we have a message from Opteo. And go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, Opteo, if you haven't heard about it, is the software to get your campaign kicked into gear. whether you're running a campaign that's been running for 6 years, 16 years, or you just started it 6 minutes ago, Optio is a wonderful software to help you pinpoint exactly where your campaign is hanging up. There's something wrong. There's something you didn't notice. There's some metrics that need to be crunched with their super powerful software that says, hey, did you notice that this specific search term across these 100 different ones, it's never converted and it's provided bad metrics for you, so you should add this specific negative keyword. Little things like that that are just incredibly powerful that you'll never notice on your own. Jason and I highly recommend the software. It's something we have advertised on this podcast. They've been supporting us for years now, and we get messages in our inbox from people saying, yay, go Optio. I mean, the listeners are a fan of both us and Optio, and there's a reason for it. And you can find out that reason when you go to optio.com/PSP to get twice the free trial that all those other guys don't get. You can get 8 weeks for free, 2 months for free, and you're going to like it. The link is in the description.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So let's discuss a new blog article that came out from the Google blog at the Ads and Commerce blog. We'll have a link in the description. And it's titled, New Tools to Create More Engaging Ads. And it's a very well done blog. There's a lot of visuals in it, and including some that move, that are like little videos. And I think that's kind of their general point. It's very on brand with what this article is about. And basically what they're saying is that today's consumer has a much higher expectation for the platforms they engage with online. They're saying that they expect content that's rich, visual, and allows for quick access for what they're looking for. So, Chris, with search ads in general, and then also including ad extensions, those have been quick, they've been providing quick access to what people are looking for, but they haven't been very rich or visual. There's not a lot of images associated with them, except for recently the image extension. But recently, in recent weeks, we talked about the Performance Max campaigns. Inside of Performance Max, both text ad copy and images and videos are all called assets. And now what they're going to do with ad extensions is they're going to turn ad extensions, they're going to basically start calling them assets. So on search campaigns, and this is going to be rolled out, we'll give the timeline here later in the episode, but it's going to be rolled out soon. In order to deliver more engaging ads and help give people what they want, they're going to change the way ad extensions are referred to, and they're going to change them to the name assets. So ad extensions are becoming assets on everyday search campaigns. Chris, what is your reaction? What do you think about that?
Yeah, Google doesn't usually do things for no reason at all. There's usually a bigger picture involved, you know, some other type of plan that goes beyond just randomly naming things. I imagine that there's something coming in where you're going to add these assets, and you know, it's a new interface or some kind of repackaged type of thing where basically you add these and it randomly uses different parts of the asset or something like that. You know, I'm not really sure, but I feel like we're headed towards more of a something that's probably going to be feeding into the, you know, what Google always pushes towards, which is going to be lots and lots of random data testing. You know, you put the information in and the algorithm spits out what it thinks is going to work best for you. And it makes sense, you know, but I feel like this is just part of a longer, more complex kind of plan.
Yeah, I was surprised by the news, Chris. Because it seems kind of like obvious now after thinking about it with what they're doing with Performance Max, yeah, and how they're calling basically ad copy and images and all that as assets inside of Performance Max. It makes sense that they rolled it out very quickly to search campaigns to call the extension assets. But what was surprising is, like, one, how obvious it is in hindsight, but also I didn't expect it at all. I thought search campaigns were just kind of going along their own path, but it looks like they're definitely taking a lot of the tools they're building, they're kind of rolling out to all sorts of campaigns. So not surprising once you start thinking about it.
And when you write an ad nowadays, if you have done it anytime recently, you'll notice that at the bottom there's now image ad extensions that show. You can add your site links right there. You know, so they're trying to bundle the ad copy with those ad extensions. They're trying to say, you know, when you do this, you also add your image extensions, also add your site links, also add your callouts, you know, all in one swoop. So they're trying to get people to accept what used to be considered an extension to the ad. Now it's all one package. Now it's just an asset. You don't write your ad, you create an asset, and that runs with your keywords.
Yeah, and the asset is made up of headlines, descriptions, link to the website. That's formerly still the responsive search ad. Right. But now you have these assets with it, which are the extensions. But inside of a Performance Max campaign, they refer to all of it as an asset, and so inside of a search campaign, they're still breaking off the extensions as the what we're calling assets. But I think, Chris, that's kind of the right way to look at this is everything that can be public facing on a search engine result should be looked at as the asset that you create inside of a search campaign. You know, for a long time, they would kind of make hints about quality score having some kind of impact based on your use of ad extensions, you know, telling us use more ad extensions. And now it's kind of like, well, if you're not going to do that, we're going to help you do that by putting it all together in the way we kind of format ads and now assets, which were formerly ad extensions. But I think it's the right way to think about it. Just think about it as everything public facing. And it is. When someone does a search, you now have the ability to not only get in front of them with text in the ad, headlines and descriptions, but also all the other parts of an ad asset or ads and assets, which are these what were formerly called extensions. So definitely underutilized, and they can definitely help drive click-through rate, and we'll talk about that later on. I had a client this week ask me, Chris, do you think expanded text ads are ever coming back? Because they still are running them, the ones you can't edit anymore. And I said, no, I don't think so. No. And now I'm even like a billion gazillion times more confident in my answer. No. They're not coming back because these are so far removed from that, tying the extensions assets together with the ads now.
Yeah.
Responsive ads, so far away from it.
Yeah. Google's not just like our lost search terms are never coming back. Google's not in the business of receiving more data for their systems and then taking that data away. They're going to want to be able to make more decisions based on how they think they can better provide a good environment for their users, more so than how they can make every advertiser have individual choice about what they get to show. You know, in the end, they're going to want the best experience for their users. And it's going to have to always be at the expense of advertisers having full control on what we can do, what we can show, you know, how we can say it.
Okay, Chris. So you mentioned like a more data means more reporting, and there is a section now that's going to start showing up in users' Google Ads accounts. Do you remember like a few weeks ago we talked about like if you look not at your search campaigns, but if you look at all campaigns and then under ads and extensions, there was like an asset report option and you could see how all your headlines and descriptions are doing and how they're scored. You recall that?
Yeah. Yeah.
So now the way it's going to work is right now we have our ads and extensions in the kind of that middle gray bar on the left side. That's going to change to ads and assets. And then under ads, you can click to assets. That's formerly where extensions were. And now you can look at your assets, site links, callouts, image, assets, all those kind of like formerly extensions. And you can look at two different tables. You can look at the asset and you can also look at the association. So the asset will list like at the account level, campaign level, and then I'm assuming at the ad group level as well, all your different assets. And you can flip to your image assets with the horizontal bar. You can flip to your site links, your lead forms, your calls, your call out structure snippets, etc. Chris, you're looking at an image of this. Mm-hmm. I really like this. I think using the what's formerly the extension area where you have to like click the drop down to view everything, that's been a little bit tough to kind of keep track of, but I like how you can look at everything in one place and then with a horizontal menu bar flip from, I'm having a hard time calling them assets. I'm so used to calling them extensions, but flip from asset to asset, image, site links, structured snippets, etc., and see what you've got going on at the various levels, account, campaign, and ad group. So do you kind of like that view of the assets page now with the menu?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's but there's only one thing I use. And in the screenshot that they show of this, there's one thing that I do not see. And I don't see the segmentation option up at the top right. So that's the one thing that I love to use. For example, if I'm looking at the site links.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Right? You know, you've been with me long enough. When they take data away, that's when I get mad. You know, I'm like, sure, add new things. Don't take away things. And if they don't give me segmentation, here's one thing that we can no longer see. If I have 5 site links, I can't segment that data and figure out which site link is driving the clicks, which site link they actually clicked on. You know, I need to see that in order to determine, you know, which site link is getting all these clicks and is driving, you know, no conversions, so I can make adjustments, remove it. You know, there's a lot of things that I need to know there. Hopefully this is just a mock-up and this isn't, you know, it's still going to be there, but it's a little scary.
When you were celebrating your 40th in 1982, I can kind of see you saying the same thing about the bunny antennas on the TV versus the remote.
Like, I hate it.
No, I like to control the antennas so I can get it just right. And then the salesman was like, well, it's now cable. It's right every single time. Mm-hmm. You don't have to adjust the antenna. But I can adjust them perfectly. I get what you're saying, Chris. I do segment out things to the one is, I think it's called click type. And it tells you what the click came from, whether it was like click on the image or click on the site link or on the ad itself. You're right. We're seeing clicks, impressions, click-through rate, and all that listed with the asset, like a site link, like a call out, etc. But we're not, we don't see that segment button there. So that is, I did not catch that. So yeah, you are definitely eyeballing that, and I hope they add it.
One other thing I noticed as well, and perhaps this is good news. In the screenshot they're showing, Jason, this is the simplified Google Ads interface. You notice at the very top of the screen, it shows just a couple options. This is the simplified. If you've ever worked inside of a smart campaign, when you build a smart campaign, it only allows you to use the simplified version. And if you want to build a standard Google Ads campaign, you have to go to the tools and settings and say, show me the expert view. I believe this is the simplified view. So perhaps if the screenshot was taken on a expert view, it would also show the segmentation. That's my one hope there. You know, perhaps this is because it's simplified.
And even if it ends up looking like this for everybody, they do seem open to kind of getting feedback. I've seen feedback about Performance Max and people are like, hey, we want to see more search term data. Hey, we want to be able to add brand negative keywords. And they're telling us stuff like that is potentially coming. So in a more manual way. So hopefully they add that segment button there because that's important. But the one thing I'll say here is, you got click-through rate. You got the click-through rate column. And if you flip over the document, Chris, when they flip from association back to the asset table, they also give you a performance rating on how your ads did when the headline and description was in there as well. So between using good headlines and descriptions and then using the whole point of running ads is to get clicks because then clicks turn into conversions, you get the kind of good score or whatever score, good, poor, bad, whatever, you get those scores on the asset level so you can look at the how your headlines and descriptions are doing and use the good ones, the ones that get goods and best scores. And then on the association table view, you can use the extensions that get really good click-through rates And maybe if you just focus on click-through rate on a high level and using, you know, whether they're assets like images or assets like callouts, using the stuff that gets high click-through rates, that'll drive traffic to your website. And then if you're set up for conversions and tracking, you can get conversions. But yeah, hopefully they add the segment button there. So Chris, there's another new kind of an update to a screen here. And you know how like in responsive search ads, you go to your ads and then you go to the top there and you can look at combinations on a search campaign. You can see how your ads are being used in combination with each other. Headlines, descriptions. They're updating that combinations page, and now they're going to show you the assets and how the assets are being used with your headlines and descriptions. And I think that's pretty cool. You can see a view here. We'll have a link in the description. But do you like that, Chris? So in the preview there, they'll show you, hey, we're using this image with this description. We're using these site links with this headline. And you can kind of see what they're using more often and make sure that makes sense for you.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's not something I asked for. Not something I, you know, really wanted in my life. But okay, more data is great. More options. But I mean, since we're talking about the combination page, and I never miss an opportunity to gripe about something that I don't like. I mean, we still don't have basic click-through rate metrics. Like, I'm so glad to see the percentage of the number of times that this combination showed versus another combination. But why can't I see what the click-through rate was on combination A versus combination B versus C? I miss that. I really wish I could see that just for peace of mind, you know, understanding how, you know, how the data is working, but, you know, maybe someday.
Yeah. And you mentioned peace of mind. I think one thing I've noticed advertisers have a problem with responsive ads is putting, you know, different kinds of headlines in there. Like you want headlines that talk about features and benefits of your business. You want headlines that match the kind of keywords that people are searching for. And then in my opinion, you want a third kind of headline, calls to actions. And a lot of people go, well, I have to pin my keyword headlines in number one or number two because I need those to show up there. And I don't want the ad to say, contact us today for a quote, call now to get started as headline one and two, and have two call to actions as the first two headlines. And then they pin, and then the responsive ad doesn't work as well as they expect it to because they're doing pinning, which in my opinion goes against the spirit of the responsive ad and kind of slows down the learning process. And so I think you can get peace of mind by looking at your combinations page under the ad area, and you can kind of see, no, Google isn't going to use two calls to actions right in a row. Yeah, on the first two headlines. They're probably not even going to use a call to action headline in headline number one. They're probably going to use a feature benefit or your keyword kind of based headline. And you can see that there with the combinations and get kind of peace of mind on like, hey, you know, 25% of the time people are seeing this ad. I like that ad. Google system likes that ad. It's got a high click-through rate. So you can, I don't know. One of the downsides of responsive ads, Chris, is you're putting in so much data, 15 headlines, four descriptions.
It's a lot.
And it's kind of hard to visually see it all and get a preview of your ad. So I find it a nice kind of peace of mind thing to see it put all together. Now put it all together with the extensions they're choosing to show with your responsive ad and kind of see how it all works together and see what the user is seeing on search. And for me, that can kind of lead to some inspiration for some new ad and asset ideas. So I like the visual nature of it.
Yeah.
So of course the question is, when will this happen? They're saying the update will be rolling out in the coming weeks. And so your extensions area under ads and extensions will now be assets, ads and assets. And it looks like it's coming to everybody in a couple weeks. So it's coming here soon. Yeah, very fast.
That's fast. I mean,
that is fast for Google.
It seems like Google has been giving us months, you know, sometimes a year.
Yeah, if not over a year. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it's like, hey, this is coming. Now, you know, this isn't a functional change. There's nothing changing. So I can see why they would roll this out quick because it's not really going to affect performance or, you know, you don't need to manage your account differently. But yeah, you know, it's definitely something of significance when they change the naming, because as I said at the beginning, in my head, I start to wonder, what are they getting at?
Mm.
What's the end game that they're doing here?
Well, I think a lot of that can be learned with Performance Max and diving into that. Another thing this kind of brings to mind is, I think you and I kind of by default, and I think we've gotten to the point where we're not thinking anymore about it, and I think maybe we should reconsider search campaigns with display turned on. On the settings level, display, what used to be called display select, if it's still called that, where maybe 1%, 5% of your clicks and impressions will come from the display network. As the assets here are getting...
Just for clarity?
Yeah.
Spend. You said 1%, 5% of the impressions. Spend.
Probably, yeah. I mean...
1% or 5% of the spend, because impressions skyrocket when you turn that on.
Well, from my experience, is sometimes it just seems like maybe there's not a lot of inventory out there on the display network that matches a niche search campaign or something, and they don't let it show that much. But yeah, you can definitely, that's one reason we've turned it off, is we don't want our click-through rate data, mm-hmm. we don't want our impression data to kind of be distorted at the campaign level and kind of make our decision-making harder than it has to be. But that said, Chris, with the improvements I've seen, once you feed the data the right tracking info and like actually track good conversion data and then what they do with that, the improvements I've seen there, the way they're tying all of their assets online together, what they own, maps, display network, YouTube. I mean, Chris, YouTube, 2 billion users or something like that, like one out of every 3.5 people. Like, it's becoming a really, really big part of Alphabet's strategy, I think. And so as we get into this more image and rich environment with advertising, and as their tracking and kind of automated bidding gets better, in my opinion, maybe it makes sense to try turning on display select, looking for some placement ideas and just seeing what happens. And you can think of a search campaign as almost like Performance Max Lite, if you will, if you turn that on. So just a little idea there. But it's going to be rolling out in the coming weeks. But here's some good news, Chris, and probably why they're rolling it out so quickly. Any existing ad extensions will automatically transition to assets while maintaining their associations at the account, campaign, and ad group level. So I think we can all breathe easy. It's a name change. It's an interface viewing change, what we're going to be able to see in there and see some new things. But what you have set up today, your current extensions at the campaign, or at the account, campaign, and ad group level, that's all going to transition under the new asset regime and kind of stay the same. Does that give you some peace of mind there, Chris?
I yes, and I appreciate you calling it regime. That seems appropriate.
I don't know. I watch a lot of cable, or I used to watch a lot of cable news, and they speak in inflammatory language. Anytime there's a change, you know, we're in a new era. We're in a new regime.
The world's
Whoever's creating the assets. Yeah, the world's ending.
The world's ending
when
tomorrow.
You watch cable if you news. Yeah. Tomorrow, by the way, if you don't stick around till after this break.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so it's not a regime. It's an update. It's an evolution.
Hmm.
So. But I mean, Chris, it's coming very quickly at us, but it doesn't that give you some peace of mind? Nothing performance-wise or nothing structure-wise that you have set up in your account is set to change. It's all going to be smooth.
Yeah. That's good news. That's good news. So, I mean, this update is just a interface update. Nothing to panic about. Whatever you have is going to work fine. And Jason, let's dive a little deeper into this after the break. Let's do a little dancing, and we'll be right back and talk about a little bit more into the image ad extensions and kind of what we think.
Sounds good to me.
And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you to check out Optio.com, our sponsor, Optio.com/PSP. That is the URL to go to take advantage of the offer that they only offer through us. It's an exclusive offer. You'll see a little pop-up on their site at the bottom right that says, hey, Paid Search Podcast listener, you want to take advantage of the special offer that Chris was telling you about? There it is. You can chat with them, request that special offer. It's a 2-month free trial. I've talked about it a lot. You're probably aware of it, but if you're not, I'll tell you, just go to the website and check out what this software does. It is exclusively Google Ads. Just like Jason and I are experts in one thing, this software is an expert in one thing, and it's providing a better experience, an uplift on your accounts. It does it phenomenally well. That's why we recommend it here, optio.com/PSP.
Okay, Chris, so let's talk about kind of this from a Google Ads management perspective. Let's talk about what were called extensions or now be called assets, how we use those in search campaigns. And I just want to frame this discussion by making a claim here, Chris, and see what you think about it. I think what we're called ad extensions now are called assets for search campaigns are low-hanging fruit that can make your Google Ads campaigns better, and they're underutilized by advertisers. Chris, you do a lot of consulting. I do a lot of consulting. You do a lot of management. I do a lot of management. You're seeing a lot of things out there. Are small and medium business owners and advertisers underutilizing the assets, what were formerly called ad extensions? What do you think about that claim?
Yes. And I find that it seems to be specific in some of the newer things that people may not realize can make their ads stand out a lot. You know, people have site links. People have call-outs. I feel like these are easy. You know, these are easy. Okay. What I see people often don't have, number one by far, is the image extension, I should say. Image asset, now I should call
it. It's a very sad, you're going to make me a little sad here. I need an Oreo or some carbs here because
that'll help.
It's a very sad thing when advertisers don't utilize the power of image extensions.
Oh, man, it changes the ad. I know whenever I see an ad with an image on it and it's a well-written ad with a clean, you know, good image on there. I mean, it really looks professional. It suddenly takes it from what we typically experience, just a boring text ad with a call to action, click me. Suddenly now it feels a little more organic, a little more natural, a little more friendly.
It does, yeah. Inviting. Come see what is on the rest of the page. Yeah. And you can do some powerful things. Like if you show up number two and you pay a lower cost per click, but you're right there below them and you have an image extension and they don't, I think visually you're going to be seen just as much as that first ad, if not more. It can also kind of, you know, people are always trying to qualify the traffic they get with their text ad copy. And we only want people that are this big, or we only want people that have this kind of business in this industry. And you kind of qualify with your ad copy. Image extensions are another great way to kind of qualify that traffic and get the right kind of traffic. So super powerful. They're totally underused. You know, another one that I think is underutilized, and I'll stand up and admit to it myself right here in front of the world, the lead form extension.
You're not alone.
And there's I know I'm not alone. I'm the only one that will admit it, but I'm totally not alone. This one is totally underutilized to the point where I forgot it even existed a few weeks ago. And I hardly ever see it out there in the wild. And there's a showstopper there with that privacy policy and having to put in a link to your privacy policy page. I think that's the thing that slows people down. But man, as things become more conversion based inside of Google Ads, you know what I'm saying, Chris, here as things get, the data gets more powerful. Once you feed it, like the machines are more powerful, if you feed it the right data, that's another way to get leads and feed it conversion data with not insubstantial conversion data like time on page or whatever, but hard conversions like actually filled out a form. Man, it's underutilized, and I pledge now to stop underutilizing it and figure out the privacy policy page and get that going.
I'll tell you, Jason, one thing, if you haven't tried the lead extension recently, one thing that really I don't like is you have to go into Google Ads and check your leads, because as far as I know, they're not emailed to you.
There's things with webhooks. What are webhooks? Hey, we're the Google Ads guys. Don't ask us what webhooks are. We're not being defensive here, but I don't want to talk about webhooks. there's things with CRMs and webhooks. I think you can get it to import into your CRM, but you know, not every advertiser is working with that. And yeah. You're right, Chris. It is a between the privacy policy page and checking the leads inside the Google Ads account most of the time.
Yeah.
It brings complexities into what can be such a smooth system. And I think that's, you know, for myself, that's why it's been underutilized.
Those lead forms used to be emailed.
Yeah.
They used to send them via email, and now you have to download a CSV file of your leads. And I'm like, you know, if you
we'll look into it, you know, maybe we should throw it on some campaigns and then report back with an episode. I think that would be an interesting one, kind of what we're seeing these days with lead forms, because it's been floating out there for so long.
It has.
Not just by, you know, it's by everybody. It's been underutilized. You hardly ever see it out there. So it'd be interesting to see kind of what that process is like now. But again, ad extensions are now called assets, are low hanging fruit. And if you use them the right way with quality assets there, they pretty much, if you use quality assets, it can only help. They give some data in this article here, Chris. What they're saying is, on average, when you have 4 site links that show with the search ad, and they're not even saying site links with descriptions, but just the site links themselves show, that's how I'm reading this, the click-through rate goes up by 20%. And then when image extensions show with mobile search ads, the click-through rate goes up by 10%. And so in my mind, it's pretty simple. More assets equal bigger ads overall, bigger ad areas for your ad.
More noticeable.
Equal higher click-through rate. The other thing to keep in mind is ad extensions play a role with ad quality, and the ad quality also plays a role with the extensions, because in the help docs, they say that some extensions only show above the search results and must have high enough ad quality to appear in a high ad position. So the way I think about that, Chris, is the rich get richer. If you are bidding a lot, if you're showing high, if you can get a high click-through rate on your ad, if you make a really good ad, and then you put extensions or assets on top of that, the really good ad helps your extensions show more often. And when your extensions show more often, it helps your ad get a higher click-through rate. Higher click-through rate can help quality score. That can help you show higher. So it's kind of a virtuous cycle if you're using all these things together. So that's just some motivation to kind of use these assets and extensions to the best of their capabilities, because I think it can help your ad click-through rate and ad quality overall. Totally underutilized, though, still, Chris. And I think Google bringing everything together here is ads and assets, helping us look at that as one can help people utilize this more.
Yeah.
Any closing thoughts, Chris, as we close the show?
No. No, I appreciate you bringing it to everyone's attention. I had
It wasn't just me. It wasn't just me. It was you as well, Chris. And it's just a pleasure to do the show with you. And I'm glad you're back to eating carbs. They've softened you up a bit, not just around the waistline, but also around the personality and vibe. So little carbs are good, you know, just a little bit of carbs with that with that protein can help out.
I do not advocate excluding one thing from your diet in order to somehow, you know, it seems like it's such a bad idea. A well-balanced diet means well-balanced in every area. Jason, a little bit of brownie, a little bit of steak, and lots of iced tea.
There you go. That was so bad. No one deserves plugs at the end of this episode. We're going to leave them there with the viewing of the image of the food.
Please, Jason, go ahead.
No, I'm not kidding.
Oh.
But you go ahead, and then I'll finish up. Where can people talk to you about what you've been eating besides this show?
ChrisSchaefer.com. The link is in the description. I talk about it all the time. I think you're going to be shocked if you check out my weekly training videos. $49, you get access to about 100 videos from my backlog, and then I continue to put out stuff. If you're listening to the day that this released on the podcast, you're going to be able to have access to a video that I made about managing risk in Google Ads. I'm publishing that today, the day this is going out. So jump on. I think you'll like it.
Thanks, Chris. And if you're wanting a little extra help with the transition, I'm at RothmanPPC.com. I do Google Ads consulting and management, and I'll see you there. So thanks for listening, everybody, and we will see you next week on the Paid Search Podcast.